Next week, President Trump is headed to Europe on a trip that will bring him face-to-face with Vladimir Putin for their first formal talks. First, however, he'll stop by Brussels to take part in a NATO summit with some of the United States' closest allies. But there's speculation over how far the president will push his fellow heads of state over disagreements on issues of trade and defense spending.
23 of the 28 member nations are still not paying what they should be paying and what they are supposed to be paying for their defense. This is not fair to the people and taxpayers of the United States.
That was the president speaking at last year's summit, with the same refrain he's using in the lead-up to this year's meeting. Trump's push to include Russia in the G7 talks earlier this summer, as well as his upcoming one-on-one with Putin, will also add some potential awkwardness and contentiousness. Here to give us an update from Brussels is Ian Lesser, vice president of the German Marshall Fund and a former American diplomat. Ian, welcome.
Good to be with you.
Let's look at, from the NATO perspective, what they would like to see out of this upcoming summit.
Well, the president's emphasis on burden sharing, on defense spending, on what Europe is spending on defense, is nothing new. I mean, multiple American administrations have come with the same message, and so they're totally prepared for that. What I think has a lot of NATO members concerned about the upcoming summit is that is frankly the experience of the G7 summit a few weeks ago, that it becomes a highly personalized, very combative, one issue. There it was trade, here it'll be defense spending, one issue summit. And that'll keep a lot of the work that has been done over the past year to prepare for this from actually being implemented. And I think that's a big concern.
So maybe keep a low profile and hope that the president doesn't pick on you? Or is it to actually, if he does say something, to say, well, I'm gonna push back?
Well, you know, they just honestly, I mean, there is a lot of debate about this here. Early in the administration, there still is a discussion about how to engage Washington and this new administration on these issues. And nothing, frankly, has been that successful. You know, confrontation hasn't worked. Flattery does not seem to work. It's not possible for European governments to deliver on everything that President Trump would like. It takes a long time, many years, to get anywhere near the 2% figure of defense spending of GDP that has been the best efforts goal. So inevitably, it's going to fall short. So, they're simply trying to think of ways to talk about things that are still in the U.S. interest to discuss, including counterterrorism and including deterrence against Russia. And these are coming very pressing concerns.
Talk to us a little bit about Russia. Obviously, NATO was formed, in essence, as a protection against the Soviet incursion into Western Europe. Now, of course, the president has a relationship with Vladimir Putin that many in Europe are not happy about. How do you think this issue gets discussed, Putin as well as Russia, and the role that NATO should be playing in all of this?
Mm-hmm. Well, the president is going to see Putin in Helsinki, and they've avoided the worst case, which, of course, would have been for the president to see Putin before going to the NATO summit. I don't think there's any objection per se to a U.S.-Russian summit. I mean, after all, these took place frequently at the height of the Cold War, and they served very useful purposes. I don't think anyone has a problem with that. I do think that they want to be sure that the president doesn't undermine any of the efforts NATO has underway to reinforce defense, defense exercises, nuclear posture, all of these things which, frankly, NATO doesn't want to start pulling on those strings. Even in past administrations, there was a tendency in the context of a summit to start giving things away. And I think there's a good deal of concern about that, especially among those NATO members who actually share borders with Russia or are very nearby.
Is the expectation that the issue of tariffs will be raised? I saw the other day that German Chancellor Angela Merkel was pushing back against the U.S., the potential imposition of tariffs on imported cars. What role do you think this is going to play?
Well, traditionally, of course, this has not been the NATO business. And there was a kind of sharp firewall almost between those kinds of trade issues and this defense business inside NATO. We're now in an environment where inevitably big picture differences over trade, climate, Iran, digital privacy and so on are beginning to affect the climate for defense cooperation. And I think there is some concern that, that this will be very hard to avoid in the public debate and may even be introduced by the president himself when he talks about defense spending.
And is the expectation that they could come up with something that they can all agree to on handling many of these issues that for so many countries have become really hot button political issues?
Well, NATO isn't going to solve these problems itself. No. I mean, it's not clear, frankly, at the moment who is going to solve them. But NATO does have a role. And I think simply the task of getting NATO, in addition to focusing on Russia in the East, to actually look more and more at problems of all kinds in the South, around the Mediterranean, and even beyond to Africa, is a strong interest for many members of the alliance. And frankly, it's an area where the United States ought to have an interest as well.
I want to zoom out for a second here and talk about the Trump presidency and relationships with some of our traditional allies. There have been a lot of folks who believe that there is a real threat to the overall strength of these alliances with the way that the president, he tweets, or, you know, the way we talked about how other countries don't quite know how to react to him. Is lasting damage of an alliance like NATO a real possibility?
Well, I think many observers here and political leaders here in Europe are beginning to fear this. I don't predict that, but it's the potential for it is certainly greater than it was in the past. It's in part about the style of this administration, but it's about other things as well. It's about the rise of China distracting the United States. It's about a combination, a kind of perfect storm of disagreements over a variety of issues, not even just about security, about climate, about trade, obviously, many things that where we're simply not on the same page. But the style of the interaction across the Atlantic now has made it much, much more difficult. It's not like we haven't had, you know, sharp disagreements in the past. I mean, there were huge marches in Europe against the Iraq War, for example, and if one went back to the Vietnam experience, there were similar things in Europe. But they weren't combined with this overall deterioration in the transatlantic atmosphere. And even though there were some differences in style back in the Bush administration, it was nothing like this.
Ian, thank you so very much for joining us.
Very good to be with you.
Ian Lesser is vice president of the German Marshall Fund and a former American diplomat with experience in the U.S. State Department during the Clinton administration.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.